broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
The Brewers are doing Brewers things right now. Frelick scored on a throwing error by the pitcher as Joey Ortiz reached on an infield single. Second and third, two outs for Terang. Brewers up 3-0 right now.
Let's go.
Pile on Bryce if you can. It's Kyle Bruston-Northman, no Northman, Strofer on the show. UKBN Nation at 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text line. This is more. Yes, Kyle?
Junior Parker is my dad's first cousin. Just had to clear that up. My brother just texted me.
So
not your grandpa's
cousin. It's my grandpa's sister's son. That's what it was.
It's getting more confusing.
It's my dad's first cousin. You know your dad's first cousin.
What year was your dad born in?
1950. Well, don't worry about that.
well, Junior Parker does?
Yes.
He's born in the 1930s.
Okay, and my grandpa was a little bit older when he had my daddy. And that's what it was.
Yeah, he's just...
What are you talking about? My grandpa, he laid seeds early and late.
Don't be so confused.
I'm a little confused by that sentence.
You've Pat Murphy.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, exactly.
We just went through his tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some early, some late.
My grandpa was like Pat Murphy. He was a dog.
On and off the field. 800-990-3776. Didn't get another in from Terang, but still 3-0 Brewers heading into the bottom half of the sixth. Jordan Love practicing. He's practicing. That's a big development.
That
week after surgery.
Let's get it.
Brewers, let's get it. Let's hear about Jordan Love and his status right now as we look into the Green Bay Packers' future.
Hopefully get him back in some capacity into practice. We kind of just went through everything. We're going to alter some things to allow him to get involved, do my favorite 7-on-7 that I absolutely despise, but in some instances, it's good. So I'd rather him do that than just throw on air. So we'll incorporate some 7-on-7 into practice.
That, Matt LaFleur on the plans. Jordan Love obviously did practice, and it got me thinking as I looked to Potawatomi Sportsbook. The initial line that came out for week one, 325, for the opening game against the Detroit Lions was the Packers favored, -2.5. And I was thinking to myself, all right, there's been quite a plethora of injuries. We know the wide receiver room's pretty injured. Xavier McKinney, a big name, was doing some work off to the side, which is a good sign, you know, that he's not just standing around or not even outside in the building just doing treatment. Jordan Love back out there. So what did feel, and again, no injury is good because you do want them out there as much as possible. It is down to -1.5. So the Packers are still favored from 2.5 to 1.5. So it's basically a pick 'em when you look at week one. If you were to pick a side right now, would you be taking the Packers or the Lions? Because basically it's to win, other than, you know, winning by one wouldn't cover for you.
I mean, we're talking about right now, and that's based off what I have seen. And what I have seen from the Green Bay Packers is a lot of guys hitting, you know, the side on bicycles, or guys in boots, or guys walking out of practice. And in order to beat a team like the NFC North defending back-to-back champions, you need to be healthy, and you need to be practicing, and you need to be on one accord. And for me, I don't know if the Green Bay Packers are going to be on one accord because I haven't seen them together. So, yes, I am a Packer backer. I love my Packers. And make sure you tune in, you know, the week before the game, because then you'll know exactly how I feel based off of that. But based off the information that I have and what I've seen, last time I saw this offense, it didn't look great, right? Last time I saw the first team defense together, they didn't look pretty great either. And so for me, I have to go based off the information that's been presented. And right now, it would have to be the Lions as the favorite in that game. Easily. I mean, they beat the heck out of the team in the Dolphins. The joint practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's less about what they've done in this preseason with all the changes they had to their staff, and more about the talent, right? Like the talent that they have, and they're much healthier, obviously. It's hard for me to like, and I feel like I've been fairly optimistic about the Packers this offseason, like, because I truly believe with Matt LaFleur and the pieces that they like have had coming into the season, with the amount of time they've been with the team, the excuses were running out for this offense not to be clicking. I still will be one of the doubters of the defensive line until they give me a reason not to doubt in regular season games.
10 sacks against the Colts during the joint practice.
Yeah, again, like I had mentioned, till I see it in a regular season game on a consistent basis. Ah, man. The Lions are so damn talented, and it's such a tough spot week one for a team that Jordan Love is doing 7-on-7s, right? Even Matt LaFleur is speaking to the limitations that he's going to have to go through. He admits that he doesn't even like the fact that they do that, but it is better that he's out there throwing in some more action than just throwing on the side. But then you have the plethora of injuries to the wide receivers against a really talented team that's going to put up points. They're going to put up points on the Packers, despite how good you think Jeff Hafley and this defense can be. I'm a little worried about week one.
Ooh, worried. Worried.
See, you don't
asked
be worried.
Me, yeah, I know. You asked me about how I feel now. I'm not worried about week one quite yet. You got 3 weeks until week one coming.
I can tell you why you shouldn't be worried.
What have the Packers done against the Lions over the last 3 years?
Compete, and beat.
Get beat.
Compete and beat. They beat the Lions in the last 2 seasons. They went down to Detroit and smacked them.
Other than Thanksgiving.
They're 1-3. Yeah,
but one of the games wasn't too competitive. The one where they came here and they beat the heck out of us. But I think both games last year were pretty competitive.
I've got some reason for optimism. So Packers availability going on right now in their locker room. John Miller from NBC 26 tweeting this out. So Anthony Belton got 5 penalties in the first half on Saturday.
Put him at guard.
Current incumbent,
sit him out.
Incumbent for the left tackle position, Rashid Walker, said, here's why he was so much better in the first half.
I think I just gave him a snack to, kind of clear his mind, just throw him a snack.
What was the snack?
Clementine. I gave a piece of my Clementine, like, man, just eat this Clementine, man, just refocus, it's all good.
So that's Rashid Walker, the Packers left tackle, audio courtesy of John Miller from NBC 26. Just got to eat more Clementines, it'll be fine.
So he got to eat Clementines at halftime in order for him not to have 5 penalties in one half. Give me a Clementine. I want them super Clementines the receiver was handing out. I do too.
Super secret stuff.
It is super secret.
That's what
stuff.
It sounds like. Clementines might be the secret to the Packers season.
Or pancakes for Pat Murphy, Clementines for the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly. Or it was getting chewed out by your head coach after you had boneheaded penalty.
Halftime was not great for him.
I bet he gave a heck of a speech, LaFleur.
Yeah, but I mean, that's tough. Some offensive linemen don't go 5 penalties the entire season.
Yeah, but he had a personal foul, too. I mean, boneheaded.
I guess for me, and again, I'm trying to separate because I am a big believer that the preseason doesn't mean much, but it can mean something. They have been undisciplined. They have been penalized.
But this is a trend that we've talked about now.
They go better at the end of last season.
But
that's what you want to have cleaned up. Like, if it's a point of emphasis as a coach for the offseason, you want to see that translate into a game, even if it doesn't mean that they're like executing the play well or the backups are delivering on what their jobs are. You still want to see cleaner football.
Yeah, no, they
have not been clean.
They just have to be better. We see these trends, right? That's the biggest issue that I have with Matt LaFleur again. I think he is a very good football coach, and I'm not calling for his head at all. But what I will say is there's certain trends that pop up as him as a head coach that you see. And it's discipline, right? This lack of discipline. I remember last year, remember with the decision. Well, heck, we can go to even this season, right? The decision from special teams, from them trying to field the special teams. But help me, Strofe, the wide receiver that fielded the special teams.
Nicole Hartman,
thank you so much.
Why'd you go to Strofe?
Because he's a Packer back.
Well, I know just as much about the Packers than Strofe.
Strofe taking shots.
Maybe not historically.
I don't know about that, buddy.
but the whole point is this. You got situations.
I do weekly Wildy.
Where it just seems like this football team has its moments of being very undisciplined, and that's something we have to clean up. This isn't a new thing. This has been a consistent thing under Matt LaFleur, and at some point it has to change. If this team is going to compete for championships, we can't be cleaning stuff up week 7, week 8. We need to be cleaning stuff up heading into the regular
season. That's why I said I'm worried about week 1.
I'm not,
because the Lions aren't going to be making these type of mistakes.
Well,
and if you're injured to a point where you have to have some guys play more of a role than they're used to playing.
Belton ain't playing week
No, I'm not
one.
Talking about that. Week one, how'd you feel? Or week one when you saw of the preseason in the game.
Oh, it was
your
pathetic.
Starters. Yeah,
it was pathetic. Again. Our vanilla sucked. I took it back to the store.
The vanilla sucked.
Yeah, I mean, even this game, the Packers haven't looked great.
And
it's
so
a problem.
I know it's preseason, but it is a trend, and it's a trend worth looking at, because if week one comes and you see penalties and lack of execution, you're going to be like, it's going to be easy to say, well, this is what we've seen from them throughout the offseason.
Yeah, I guess my biggest concern is
And you can't have those mistakes against the defending champs of the NFC North for the last 2 years.
At what point are these guys going to grow up and all of a sudden become veterans? Because I just get this feeling that we have this football team that we're always waiting for them to, as we've been saying, take the next step. We're always waiting for something, right? Ever since Aaron Rodgers left, we haven't had that leadership that we needed. And now you're going into the third year with Jordan Love as a starter for the Green Bay Packers. I expect him to clean some of this stuff up. I really need Jordan Love leadership. When it came to Anthony Belton, yeah, it should be Matt LaFleur ripping into him. But Jordan Love needs to walk up to the young fellow, big fellow, and say, listen, big fellow, if you want to protect me, you ain't going to be having these boneheaded mistakes, because you're going to be sitting right here on this bench next to me while I'm hurt. You're going to be on this bench. You got
to
be better.
Like, we're going to get to know each other. I don't want to get to know you like that.
Yeah, I may need you one day. I may need you one day, and I can't have you messing us up, having us go backwards instead of forwards. So
here's
he
a Clementine.
Needs to be a leader. No, bumps a Clementine. If I got to give you a Clementine, you go play soccer. That's what they do.
Oranges at halftime.
Yeah, oranges at halftime. Not right here on the football field.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. That's Marcus Johnson. Tune in to hear District with him and his son Chris. They talk everything happening in the Bucks world, and they are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Just saw Kevin Garnett with them, which was an awesome interview. They'll answer your questions too. So stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on thebucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcast. Jason Wildy's going to join us next. Strofe is out Friday, so for those who aren't typically with us on Mondays at around 3:30, on Friday, Strofe has been doing Packers parody songs. Do you know he's got one for us today, Kyle?
With that voice?
We'll see what he cooked
Boys,
up.
Boys, it's a good one.
He says that every time. Jason Wildy next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
And that Alex Strofe, you look like you had something to say.
Brewers! On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Well, a little change of plans. Jason Wildy getting pushed to like 3:30, 3:35, which means whoever's listening is blessed with the opportunity to hear Alex Strofe sing. It's Kyle Bruston Nortman. No Nortman. Ben and Kyle, Strofe, UKB Nation at 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Typically every Friday you would get a Packers parody song leading into the season from Alex Strofe, but he had a self-diagnosed bronchitis that has now passed and he's back at work. So now we move to Monday to hear Strofe's song. Strofe, give us a little details behind the makeup, and usually you say it's the best thing that's ever been created.
Yeah, so I had an epiphany last week. Uh-oh. It's amazing I haven't covered this song yet.
You had an epiphany while you were on the drugs?
No, it was before that. I was going to record it on Friday, but then I was sick. Sicker than I already was. My voice was a little bit better today than it was last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday anyway, so it's probably a good thing. Blessing in disguise. But I had an epiphany, so I've actually been writing this one for a few days, which is the longest I've ever written a song.
That's either going to be really good or really bad.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, and I actually think it's really good.
Doesn't matter what you think. KBN Nation, Kyle, and Ben are the judges. 800-990-3776, Carbless Talk and Text Line. We want your reaction to whatever we're about to hear.
Hoo-hoo-hoo! Hoo-hoo-hoo!
Rough start.
Jaden just dropped the ball. Receivers hit a wall on an April day. New stud, Golden's way. Chip Hopes went out the door last year in 24. Had an Eagles game plan. Got sacked before it ran. LaFleur's gonna be the master. Love is gonna be the star. Hadley's gonna run the defense. Gary's gonna leave a scar. The painted nails QB is now the enemy. See the last 15 years and winning hasn't been clear. Since cutting Jonesy, Devontae, Goodbye to Mark Murphy. There was A-Rod and Jordy, and Northwinds were a guarantee. The Lions, the Vikings, if I said they rocked, I'm lying. Super Bowl hopes are back alive in 2020, 2025. We've seen all the classics. We know every game. Janis, Cobb, Cook, and Favre. Even Crosby winning. We beat up Dallas. Wearing a big cheesehead hat. Thought Lacey'd be the best. That's before he got fat. Where's Mike McCarthy?
Wow.
And Joe Philbin? And why did Greg Jennings become a villain? When did the other teams become GB? Whatever happened to Tauscher, Bulaga?
They're on the radio.
So bring back Jonesy, Devontae. Adios, Mark Murphy. There was A-Rod and Jordy, and Northwinds were a guarantee. The Lions, the Vikings, if I said they rocked, I'm lying. Super Bowl hopes are back alive in 2020, 2025.
DJ Strofe.
You seem like you like it.
I'm a fan. I thought he did a great job of utilizing the now, the past, into the present.
I thought it was good. It was in your genre. But you try to fit too many words sometimes into one stanza, I think they call it stanza. I feel like he tried to fit too much sometimes, too much in it. And so I'm just like, ah. But I mean, it wasn't bad.
You need to stop being a freaking hater.
I'm not.
Bro!
What do you mean, bro?
Back off!
Come on, can we just acknowledge, I told Ben before the show, I wrote my favorite line of all time today, and it was, whatever happened to Tauscher, Bulaga, they're on the radio. I thought that was clever as hell.
I like the painted nails QB.
That was good. No, the lyrics weren't bad. It's just, you try to do too much at a certain point.
There was some spots where I had to really, like, you know how you have to...
Da-da-da-da-da.
Well, no.
He squeezed too much in.
I was gonna say, like, when you are squinting your eyes and you're trying to see something, that's what I was trying to do with my ears to try and, like, hear what he was trying to say. Like, we used to win the North, like you would, like, say it too fast, and I was trying to figure out what you were saying.
Yeah, he was trying to fit too much into
it. Thought you liked it. Pick a side.
I do like it. Overall, I liked it, but it doesn't mean it was perfect.
It's an album song for sure.
It's the best one, yeah.
No, it's not the best one yet. It wasn't.
In your heart of hearts, you say that every time because you're a proud person.
I don't say it every time. Almost every time.
You say it every time.
Yeah. This was not bad. This one's a banger. Okay. I wouldn't say banger.
No, it's a banger.
No, it's a head bob. But then, because during the head bob, you try to be like, oh, okay, wait a minute, I missed
Ron something. The key chimes in. It's fun watching Ben trying not to smile. I did kind of enjoy it. Lasagna and MKE says, that's a banger, Alex.
Thank you, Lasagna.
Brian says in the 920, I'm sure his mom likes the song.
I haven't played it for her. I'll ask, though.
Oh, she'll love that.
Oh, look at my honey boo bear, whatever she
listens,
called you.
She listens. Boo boo kitty. She listens to the show occasionally, but I don't think she knows about my Packers parody song. She would love them, though, probably.
Steve in the 262. So awesome. Where can I buy the album? Great job, Stroke.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. You won't have to buy it. We'll figure out a release plan here.
You're such an idiot. We could paywall this, and you could be rich.
Oh, actually. Steve, I'll keep you posted on that.
Don.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Taylor Swift's releasing 800 different versions of this new album. She's a billionaire with a B.
Now you're dreaming too big.
Not me.
Don says Stroke may have found something he's good at. That's big. We found a lot that he's really bad at. It's not easy to write lyrics and come up with a good arrangement.
Yeah, it's not. No, again, I give him credit because the brain be braining when he does it. It's just,
brain
I think,
be braining.
You just do too much, I think, at times. That's it. Not bad.
ESPN Wisconsin's Weird Al, Alex Strofe.
Yeah,
Weird Al Strofe. So here's what I struggle with. I've never made an entire song, right? So I always cut it off early because I feel like 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes. That's too long.
No, you do a good job.
I try to keep it to, you know, about half the song. I felt like this is one where I left meat on the bone.
No.
I feel like I might go back and add to it.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You got to clean up the, you'd have to clean up our critiques first.
Do you hear what we're saying? How you try to put too much at one time and you start talking fast and we can't understand it?
I do try to fit in extra syllables sometimes, yes.
Sometimes.
Not all the time.
Basically every song of the album.
That's a trend of yours. I don't know if you
know. It is a trend of mine because I can't always communicate what I want to in so few syllables.
Well, that's why you have to
That's why this is hard.
Yeah, you have to figure out.
Because I could just say Bowl Hopes are back alive in 2025, but I feel like that doesn't
In 2025. That was good.
Ryan from Iguanago, Alex the Genius. Chris and Nishota, Strophe is now sensational. Look banger after banger. Keep it up. What song is that? And Nishota.
I never heard that song before.
1985?
Never heard 1985 by Bowling for Soup?
Bowling for Soup.
Is in 1985. Like, that's the, like.
What year was it made?
2004.
Oh, so it wasn't 85. It must have not been on radio. I didn't
it was
hear.
Definitely insanely popular.
Yeah, it had to be on, like, you know, your, song is your top 100 popular. Or whatever.
Really?
The genius about what Strophe has done is he is picking songs that most people can identify with.
Yeah, that one.
I'm surprised you didn't know that one.
It just sounds like the typical music that little punk rocker.
In 2025.
Oh, good. It's stuck. I like it.
I'm not gonna lie. I do start singing these like randomly when I'm getting the car in the grocery store.
I'll
be walking around and be like, Mark Murphy, goodbye.
Oh, I fit that in there today for you.
Yeah, but I didn't like that you did that part.
Well, that was
like,
for you.
Dan, a lot of stuff he doesn't like.
Yeah, a lot of stuff he doesn't like for somebody that said.
Let Mark Murphy goodbye live in the the fire.
But I felt like it was important to acknowledge because it's 2025, he's out, I acknowledge LaFleur and Halfley, and anyway. I did
And Jeff Janis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a big catch one time.
Yeah, I know that. Two big catches on the same drive.
Yeah, that's true. I tried to bring up random cult heroes. I brought up Jared Cook, Mason Crosby game winner, same game.
Yeah.
I had a sad realization though today.
Uh-oh.
You're running out of talent.
It was over the weekend. So this is my fourth to final song.
Four.
So that's, I would have skipped one.
We still have three more?
Yeah, we have three more. I would have skipped one on Friday because I was just sick. But I wanted to make one because we only have four left. Now we have three left. And that's really sad. I've had a lot of fun with these.
Alex chimes in the 262. That was absolutely terrible. I got a client in my car and he made me turn off the radio. He doesn't even speak English.
That is hilarious. No mas.
No mas, no mas, no mas.
No mas a musica. That's funny.
Joining us next on Kyle Brust-Norman, we'll get the full song later in the show for those who missed it. I got to go back here and make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope. Top eight. Obner Uribe through the seventh. Brewers up 3-0. Jason Wilde joins us next.
Plan. Got sacked before it ran. LaFleur is going to be the master. Love is going to be the star. Hadley's going to run the defense. Gary's going to leave a scar. The painted nails QB is now the enemy. See the last 15 years and winning hasn't been clear.
Since cutting Jonesy, Devontae, goodbye to Mark Murphy. There was A-Rod and Jordy, and Northwinds were a guarantee.
The Lions, the Vikings, if I said they rocked, I'm lying.
Super Bowl hopes are back alive in 2020.
In 2025.
This is Kyle Brusten Nortman.
I text Greg Scalzo, and I say, Greg, I'm sorry, I'm going to be late to work. I'm caught in an international conspiracy.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not sure that was good enough for us to even play on our show.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Brusten Nortman.
No Brad Nortman. You got Ben Brust and Kyle Wallace with Strophe running the show. Joining us now on Kyle Brust and Nortman is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason 9 to noon across these very stations. Jason, how are you?
Thanks for accommodating me, boys. I'm walking out of Lambeau Field. How is our guy? I checked in with him a couple days ago, but I didn't want to be a pest, so I haven't. I was told that he was getting better, healing.
doing well by all accounts. I did talk to him on a FaceTime, and I heard him speak. He's doing voice therapy. He's doing all the things, and apparently he breathes wrong, and he's got a lot of work to do. So, but he's
he
on the mend.
Wrong.
Yeah, that was what he told me. I was like, I don't know how that's possible, but maybe you can work on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all a work in progress. Thanks for accommodating me. I had to do some television, and it takes a while for me to do that. I have not reached a comfort zone with that just yet. It's kind of like you with your jumper sometimes. Sometimes it's falling and sometimes it's not.
Oh, wow.
Keep shooting, though. I keep shooting. So you keep doing your thing, Jason.
That wasn't a dig. Shooters shoot, no doubt about it. I'm just saying some days you're, you know.
I hit at a 40% clip as a career, so I was pretty proud of that, you know. That's pretty solid.
I mean, Jim, out of 10 shots, you missed 6 of them.
Oh, wow.
By the statistics, yes, if we're going to call that out.
What is Kyle doing over there? He's the one who's turning this into.
No, you did come on.
Oh,
no, yeah. Jason, you did come on. You said, you know, yeah, you know, I'm doing the TV thing, and the TV thing isn't like, you know, I got to get going into it. You made it sound like TV wasn't your jam, and then you compared yourself to
my jam.
The thing he made a great college career off of.
I thought it was defense that he was known for.
Blah, blah. Jason's having fun today.
Olé, olé. Would you like a layup? I'm right here. Come get me. Jason, so.
Hey, I heard one more thing.
Of course.
I heard from your brother the other day.
That's great.
He's very excited about the Bears.
Of course he is. Anyone who.
Was that last night? That was last night.
Yeah, that was last night. I believe. I think Caleb Williams was 6 for 10 or something. So. Wonderful.
You look good.
In the preseason, which leads me to my overall question here, because there's 3 data points we can go off of in terms of, I don't know, there's obviously a lot of practice, but you look at preseason game number 1, you got to look at some of the starters. Joint practice number 1, the defense showed out, you know, and obviously it's not everything, but it was an encouraging sign. A lot of guys out in preseason game number 2. The execution, the penalties, the personal fouls, right? Like, these are things that have plagued them this offseason and in the past that I feel like is there's still time to get rid of this before you play a team that has won the North 2 straight years. It just doesn't feel like a very good feeling for me heading into week 1.
Yeah, I try not to tell people how to feel and what to think, right? I sometimes I put my thumb on the scale, as we've talked about. But they scratched 29 guys, most of them, almost all of them starters, and most of them healthy enough that they could have played. Like Rashid Walker, for example, I was talking to him last week, and this groin thing that he's dealing with, he said very clearly, if they were playing the Lions, he'd have played. So they've been being extra cautious with him. You know, Anthony Belton accounted for 5
But real
five
quick, isn't there,
11.
Isn't there a left tackle competition? Is he that confident that it's not a competition?
There is.
Somehow.
No, I don't think it's his. I don't think he's choosing to do it. I think the medical staff is saying, hey, there's no point in having you go out there now and really damaging it. And then if you do win the job, you're not going to be ready. So he's going to practice this week. We talked to him again today. I think, you know, they didn't do 11 on 11 because they were protecting Jordan Love from getting bumped into by any of the big uglies.
Yes, but Matt LaFleur apparently not a fan of 7-on-7s, but he had to do what he had to do.
He might be a fan of 7-and-7s. I don't know what exactly it's going to look like for Rashid Walker, but he's an example of a guy that, you know, if things are the way they expect them to be, Anthony Belton, who was the guilty party on 5 of those 11 penalties, isn't even going to be on the field. So I don't think it's something that is overly concerning. At the same time, obviously, you don't want to play that way. And I know that there were folks on social media that were, you know, beating the drum that Matt LaFleur's teams are undisciplined and this and that. I just don't see it that way. There's been years where they did have high penalty numbers, and then there's been years where they were really low. And I would bet that the numbers coincide with when they had more veteran teams.
Mm-hmm.
They were low, and with these young guys, they tend to be higher. So they got a lot to worry about. I don't think undisciplined play or too many penalties is as big of a concern as it feels like after the two preseason games.
Okay, that's fair, because that is something that I was concerned about, because overall, I do want to see this football team, we've been talking about it, turn the corner, and I don't think the youth excuse can be there anymore, and so I really would hope that they can get that down, because I know 2023, I believe they led the league, and early last year, I think they had some issues with penalties, and I just don't want to see that old bad habit creep up on the Packers again, because they can't afford to work their way through penalties, because when you shoot yourself in the foot like that and going backwards, when you're playing the Commanders and the Lions to start the season, that's just no bueno for the Packers. They need to start fast and strong.
Yeah, and Kyle, the most important thing you said there is that they're not that young of a team anymore. And it's absolutely true. So, yeah, Anthony Belton is young, right? I mean, he's a rookie second-round pick. And, you know, what I thought was interesting was that two of those penalties – with the alignment issue, you know, LaFleur basically said, look, that's also on our guards for lining up too far back. So, you know, those are the kinds of simple things that, to your point, you just can't do that, especially with the two games they have to open the season. Now, I haven't been paying attention to how the Commanders and the Lions have played in preseason, but I'm going to guess that they have some young guys that have done some boneheaded things as well. So again, when it's the guys that you want out there. You know, I talked to Nate Hobbs today. He said he feels good about the progress he's made in his rehab after that knee surgery. Whether or not he's ready for the opener, he was unwilling to say for certain. So that's not ideal. But if he's out there, then you feel better than if you're playing, you know, Kalen King or Bo Melton at corner. So, again, I don't think it's panic time now. But I do think your first point is the most important one, which is the days of, oh, it's a young team. There's a lot of guys that are still young in age but have a bunch of experience, and that's why the expectations are as high as they are.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Kyle Bruston Nortman. Just a quick update because it's just so good. Four runs in the top of the eighth for the Brewers to make this 7-0. Can't ask for a better first game doubleheader.
Let's get it.
And Jason, you know, I know you have a little Brewers fever, but I do want to stick with the Packers because, you know, from a Jordan Love standpoint, do you feel like he has enough time to get to where he needs to be week one with the surgery? And obviously practicing seven on sevens, like if this were, you know, a middle of the season, obviously he'd play. So does that make you feel confident that he's got enough time before week one to get to where he needs to be?
I do. Now, again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm basing that on what, you know, the medical staff and what the doctor that performed the surgery in Los Angeles was telling him. But, yeah, I mean, look, otherwise you just don't have the surgery, right? Like, if you think that there's a chance on your non-throwing hand that you're not going to be able to play in the opener, then you just say, you know, F it, I'm going to play through it. And that's what he said he would have done had this happened on a timeline that it wouldn't be healed. I mean, the guy was out there practicing, modified though it may have been, 6 days after surgery.
Yeah, it's a really quick turnaround. Small or big or whatever. I mean, it's still surgery. You have some invasive.
And so, you know, he had a wrap on his hand and they put a baggie on it apparently when it started raining. So, like, again, it's not like it's going to be on September 7th. Like, no, they're not going to go 7-on-7 and let him pick the ball up off of a stool instead of having it snapped to him to save on his hand. But, you know, I think it's pretty remarkable. Now, I'm still not sure that there's a lot of value in it, right? Especially having him out there in the rain. I don't know, Jim. But they decided it was worth it. And, you know, he's staying kind of in the groove after missing basically two practices last Tuesday and last Thursday and then missing the game. Like, you know, there's guys that have missed a lot more. So I don't think there's a lot to worry about with him. That said, you know, the only thing I would worry about are setbacks. Like, you can't control everything. And the hope would be that he's not going to, you know, have any sort of, accident or somebody, you know, if he takes part in an 11-on-11 period at some point the week of the game, and somebody inadvertently bumps him, which no one's going to do on purpose. You know, I would still be worried that that's going to just cause him pain and set him back.
No blitzes from Nate Hobbs, please.
Maybe it's good that he's not going to be ready to practice yet. I don't think they would have done it if there was reason for worry. I would leave it at that.
Yeah, they probably feel confident that by week one he'll be ready to go. But Jason, I do want to know about how you feel about the report from Ian Rapoport that Micah Parsons and the Green Bay Packers, there may be a little bit of Packers putting some feelings out there, potentially interested in Micah Parsons. What is your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few other people. Who's that guy? Ricky?
Pretty Ricky, baby.
Pretty Ricky!
I would say this. Micah Parsons would be the 2025 version. Not quite as accomplished at this point. But it would be like going out and getting Reggie in 93, right? I mean, Reggie was already on his way to being a Hall of Famer. So I wouldn't say it's apples to apples. But, I mean, this is a guy that's on that trajectory. You know, if you give up a first and a second and Rashawn Gary or whatever it might be, great. I'll say this, from a content and fascination perspective, I'm 100% in. On a reality perspective, I have a hard time picturing it.
It's not Luka Doncic
being traded, but it's kind of along those lines, right? I mean, could Jerry Jones really be that stubborn and foolish to do that?
I would hope if it's coming for the Packers, I don't think he is, but that would be something where I think the Packers should really go get him, because now you have that guy on the offensive side of football in Jordan Love, and you add in Micah Parsons, where you already have McKinney, too.
You got to pay him.
You should. It's rare. You know, Jason, you've been working in football a long time. It's rare to be able to get an elite talent like that.
It's also
that
rare to think the Packers would give stuff up and pay. That's the double whammy.
I will say this, though. This is the difference between acquiring T.J. Watt, acquiring Trey Hendrickson, who's already turned 30. Like, this would at least fit with Goody's,
correct,
you know, thought process of this guy's younger than that. So if you're going to pay somebody, they got to be much younger. And, you know, obviously Jordan Love's contract is expensive. But, like, if you're clearing the – let's say you put Rashawn Gary in the trade. I think this is even remotely likely? No, of course not. But it's fun to think about and talk about. And if you put Rashawn Gary in the deal, you clear his cap space, because I think his cap number is just as high as what he'd be paying. So the dead cap money, you'd be able to survive that. It would be like getting out of that contract. And you'd be adding somebody who's even better than he has been. So if you have to pay and you have to give up for him, I don't know. It sounds great. I think it would be really fun if it happened. And it would change the expectation game for this team in a enormous way.
Well, we did put out a poll. What percent chance do you think the Packers will trade for Micah Parsons? 0%, 52%. 1 to 25%, 36%. 26 to 50 is 7, and then greater than 50 is 5. So everyone's kind of on the expectation page of it not happening. But if it does, we know what kind of impact that would be.
Do you believe in miracles?
No.
Yeah. Jason, thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Cheez-It is a legendary snack cracker now available in frozen pizza. Each crust is a giant original Cheez-It flavored cracker crust that's square-shaped, ultra-thin, and super crispy. And it's the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor, I can tell you that much. On top of each crust are flavors perfectly complementing the Cheez-It taste, including Italian four cheese, cheddar jack, supreme, and pepperoni with a short bake time. You'll be freezing cheesing in, I mean, 8 minutes. Sometimes I do 9. I want to look at the crust. Like, you can feel out your own oven, but you're going to get a great pizza no matter what. So find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section and taste what all that screaming is about. Kyle is a big baller. We'll tell you how next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
These hands are not made for fixing anything in a house. I make a phone call, and I'm cheap, but I ain't that cheap. I got my guys. Got my handyman. Shout out to Chris. Under the table.
Just like that, dude's getting audited now.
Yeah.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
That's Kyle Wallace, hey. Everybody. Tell us about that first class experience. Yeah. Your cousin on the Broncos fly you out first class?
No, you know.
You flew first class?
I flew first class.
First time ever?
Yes, it is my first time flying first class like this. And so, you know, y'all told y'all I went out to Denver, you know what I'm saying? And me and my brother, you know, I am a member of the All You Can Fly Pass. Now, if you're familiar with the All You Can Fly Pass, is where I bought into this system for $300. For a whole year, I get to fly for free. Well, not for free, for $15. So I'm like, ooh, this is dope. So I get to fly. And I'm a gold member. And being a gold member, I get to upgrade my seats where I get to sit on the front. Now, Strofe, now, you know what airline I was sitting at the front of?
Yeah, probably Southwest or Delta.
Frontier, baby. I am first class. What?
There's
Frontier.
No front class in Frontier.
What you? Who, are you telling me I couldn't recline my seat back? Had the big seat as well.
Okay, okay.
I had a whole bunch of
you
leg
have completely
room.
Missed. Construed
first row. So, hello, Mr. Whoa, they didn't know my name. I ain't gonna lie to you.
They didn't know your name. Did they provide you free alcohol?
What free alcohol? What do you mean? I just gave me some water.
That's what first class does.
Nah, first
did
class.
Did they provide you a meal?
It's Frontier. No, nobody gets a meal.
Did they close the curtains so you were in a blocked off area?
Curtain.
Curtain. There's no curtain.
There's curtains in first class?
Yes, there is.
I felt like it was first class.
No food.
No.
Blanket?
I didn't ask for one. I walked on that plane and guess what? My seat was right there.
Was it a cushion or was it still cardboard?
No, it was a cushion. Now it was the big seat and nobody in the middle. I had my brother at the window. I was in the aisle seat.
This isn't
I can
first
lean
class.
My chair back. What do you mean that is first class?
Strofe, does this qualify as first class?
It sounds like it was an upgraded experience, but I don't know about first
Strofe,
class.
Strofe, look at Frontier Big Seats. Go Google it. Google it. I was living
Frontier
in a
Frontier Big Seats.
It was so comfortable. I was living a lap of luxury getting on that flight. I'm telling y'all, it was fantastic. They even gave me water.
Your seats do look comfortable.
Thank you, Strofe.
No, Strofe, they look like Coach on United or American or Southwest.
They were big. Strofe?
I'm Team Benny on this.
Oh, come on. Come on. I flew first class down to Denver.
I was the emergency one. Seat, so I was next to like the door in case the plane went into emergency when I was in LA the other week. Big seat.
No. They ask, are you willing and able? You should have said yes to willing. Able, I'm not able to help. Yes. I don't have muscles.
I actually put my girlfriend on the inside. I needed the aisle seat, more leg space.
Oh, yeah.
If
she's
there was an emergency, half the plane wouldn't have got out because you guys would have been trying to get the door for half the time.
He's like,
come on, you door!
I can't get it. And then your girl just takes it and
is there a strong person on this flight?
I didn't know it was the first class. Thanks for killing my dreams, guys. I thought that's what I was flying.
Well, in 2 minutes, we might be winners of a first game of a doubleheader. Tell you in a second.
Yeah!